Julio, how are you doing, my man?
I'm good, Jace. How are you, bud?
Hey, I am excellent. First of all, as a quarterback, tell us, Mike Riley looked like he got hit on his wrist, his hand on his left hand. He was throwing passes today, but if your left one is sore and you're a righty, where would that impact you the most as a quarterback?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, and I think it would just, depending on what it is, right? You know what, I don't know what, you know, what the word is as far as what the actual injury is, but, you know, if Mike's throwing and that's not, you know, being affected, and I've read a few things today saying that he was throwing passes and he looked fine, then, you know, I would just say this, that the effect that it's going to have is the pounding that he'll take during the game and how much of that pain he's going to be able to withstand. Because, you know, football is one of those games that if a team knows that you're hurt or knows that you're, you know, you've been struggling with a certain injury, that they're going to try to make it as uncomfortable for you as possible. So I would imagine that Ottawa is going to get after him and, you know, try to hit him as much as it can. And but given what Mike has been like in the past and his pain threshold, I would imagine that it's going to need to take a lot in order to get him out of the football game.
Julio, let's talk about another quarterback here. Jonathan Jennings. We've seen this young man grow into the starter he's become. But I look at that Winnipeg game, and I wonder if that's another one of those career building blocks. Mistake early on in that game. He's still a young quarterback. Could have been rattled. Could have caved a little bit. The knees start knocking. Instead, we saw how that one played out. He dug in, as everybody did. And then late, the comeback is complete, and it's Jennings doing that as well. Is that an important game in the career of this young man in your mind?
Well, I think you make an excellent point. I think that's one of the things that continues to amaze us, you know, for us to get a chance to see him, you know, every day and every week playing is, for a young quarterback, his ability to, you know, put mistakes behind him very, very quickly and move on has been extraordinary. His composure, his ability to not allow the moment to be too big for him has just been, again, it's been extraordinary because you just don't see it very often in a young quarterback. Usually, you know, it's something that kind of evolves and you kind of learn over time, not just in 1 year, but just over, you know, a few seasons to, you know, how do you fight through a couple interceptions early? How do you fight through, you know, making some critical mistakes during a game that cost you? And he's had his share, but he's every single time, whether it's within that game, if it's an early turnover, his ability to kind of bounce back in that game, or, you know, we saw it against Winnipeg where it was late, 2 interceptions, 10 points, they lose the game. And then the following week, a very, very important game at home against Edmonton. And, you know, he played very, very well. So I think that's one of the things that it continues to amaze me. Like, for his age, where he is, he's way beyond his years as far as maturity and composure and dealing with pressure. So, you know, it is encouraging for Lions fans and for the league, right? Because you want to see guys like this succeed. You know, the sky's going to be the limit for him.
Julio Caravata joins us at BC Lions taking on the Calgary Stampeders. You played the position. I don't know if you ever went a month without playing unless you were injured, right? But you got Bo Levi Mitchell. The Calgary Stampeders were rolling. They rested him in the final week of the season. Then they had the bye in week 20. Uh-huh. Then they had the bye in the West semifinal. Is rust an issue at all this time of year?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I think it's very, very going to be very, very critical. And this is why I wouldn't worry about it too much. Because I think Dave Dickinson, having been, you know, is a Hall of Fame quarterback, I think he understands the importance of getting Bo Levi and his team off to a quick start, right? You're right. It has to have an effect on you when you haven't played, you know, in almost a month. And, you know, those guys, like, it's going to be like training camp. They're going to be itching to play somebody else. They want to get out there. They want to do all those things. But, you know, just like a preseason game or a game where you've been off injured for 4 or 5 weeks and you come back, there is going to be a little bit of rust. So now what it is, it's important on the coordinators and head coach to make sure that you're you're putting your guys in a position to have success, and especially early. So that's why, I mean, with Bo Levi, you know, you want to see him, you know, get some real high percentage completions early, get his flow early. You know what's going to make him tick and how he's going to get into a game, and you want to make sure that you accomplish those things early on to get him in the game. And, you know, after the first quarter, if he's doing those things that he's been doing all year, then it's going to be off to the races. But, and this is a big but, if the Lions can disrupt that kind of momentum building and rattle him a little bit, get into his, you know, into pressure him a little bit, rattle him, maybe force him into a mistake early, now all of a sudden you might change that mindset. But, guys, let's be honest. I mean, the Calgary Stampeders have been the best team in the league. The Lions are going to need to play a pretty near perfect game in order to beat them. And, you know, they can only hope that they're rusty and not up to game speed and capitalizing on that early. Because if not, they're going to have to be perfect otherwise.
Julio, if you're Wally Buono, how do you draw it up to be as close to, as you call it, perfect? They've got weapons. Bo Levi Mitchell, everybody knows what he is. Is there something there you go at? How do you game plan against this team in a one-and-done situation?
Well, again, I think that, you know, if you're Kari Jones in the BC Lions offense, you know, your quarterback against them is going to – you're going to have to be, you know, 28 of 34 for 350 yards and three touchdowns and no picks. If you're an offensive lineman, you know, you can't get beat. You've got to grade out your best. I could go across the board. I mean, when you play great teams, you need to play clean, and you need to have guys play above maybe what they have been, and play, like I said, have one of those career type games, because the Stampeders have just proven all year long that they're you know, pretty complete from top to bottom. And I'm not saying that the Lions aren't a complete team. I think that they're a very, very good football team. That maybe there's a little bit of inexperience, especially at the quarterback position. But, you know, I think that Wally Buono likes the way his team is playing. I think they feel very good about the way they're playing. They're running the ball well. Jonathan Jennings has, you know, as we've seen, has been able to bounce back after mistakes. And when he stays pretty clean, he can be very, very dominant. That offense can be dominant. And on the flip side, defensively, they can be very, very good too. They can get into your face. And the addition of Brian Turner Jr. inside with Mikael Brooks has really made a difference with that defensive line. So, you know, they're a good football team. And, you know, Chris Rainey has had some real success with the return game against them. If they can get things going early and keep themselves around, you know, I think it's going to be a very, very good football game, and something like we saw last week and coming down to the wire.
What do you make of the Eskimo-Ottawa matchup?
Well, I like it. I'll say this about the Eskimos. You know, they're playing, you know, at the right time of the year, they're playing very, very good. And they can play a bunch of different ways, right? They showed us that they control the ball. Everyone knows that. But I think that they've shown us that they can run the ball as well. And when you can grind it out like that, that's impressive. I think defensively, Mike Benavides has got his guys playing at a very high level at the right time of the year. I think it's probably taken some time for them to get used to him and them, or him used to them. But they have come around and are playing very good, especially up front. Man, oh, man, they can get after the quarterback with four people, and that's a huge, huge key in this league. But I also think that Ottawa is a good team. That, you know, they fly around on defense. You know, Rich Campbell, you know, is going to play man-to-man, and he's going to get after you. And I think that's what they're going to try to do with Mike Riley, to not allow him the time to, you know, hit those big plays downfield to the Adarius Bowman, to Darrell Walker. So this is going to be, again, a good. These are the best four teams in the league. And, you know, the matchups for me are very, very good. And, again, when we have these kinds of scenarios in playoffs, it all depends on who makes the fewest mistakes. And I think that's going to be the case again. They're just all too good at this point. And if you turn the ball over, I think that's where you're going to lose.
Yeah, Julio, football's a man's game, obviously. You don't ever go after a player outside the rules, but if I'm Ottawa, let me put it this way. I want to find out how healthy Mike Riley is as early as I can.
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. And you're right. You mean, I don't think there's going to be anything cheap. You know, I mean, that Ottawa defense is tough. I mean, they get after it. And, you know, when you have a guy, especially their quarterback, who's you know, had an injury on a shoulder, I mean, they're going to say to themselves, hey, listen, we got to get after him, right? And not in a dirty way, but we're just going to have to be physical and get after him. So I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a team that's going to go after Mike Riley, and that's no different than any other week. You know, I mean, that's one of the keys to trying to beat them. If you allow Mike Riley to drift around the pocket and move around, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, he's too good, and he's got too many weapons at his disposal to allow him to do that.
Now, will we have an update on the status this week of Manny Arsenault? He underwent the concussion protocol. Also, did he not tweak an ankle?
Yes. Yeah, he hurt his ankle on the very first play of the game, and then the concussion afterwards was, something that affected him, obviously. But all things point to the fact that, you know, he's passing all the concussion protocol and that his ankle is progressing and looks like he's going to be a go. I saw pictures and video of him today working out on the sideline, so I think as everything is progressing in the direction that they wanted to, and I would be very, very surprised that he wasn't ready for the game on Sunday.
Julia, one last one for you. What do you make of the CFL, Glenn Johnson, the officials come out and say two close calls, borderline holding calls were mistakes, and I'm like, what? There's 40 borderline holding calls every game. Like, to me, it seems asinine to come out and rip your officials on borderline calls when you admit that they're borderline, because we could go on video on pretty much every play and what determines holding or not.
Yeah, I know. I agree about the holding call. I think that, them admitting, he did it. If I'm not mistaken, I thought I read that today where he did say that made a mistake, or they made a mistake, considering the way that they've made that call all year is with Odell Willis.
I didn't think that was roughing the passer, honestly.
Either did I.
Okay, good. And you're a former quarterback, because to me, wasn't late and didn't hit him in the head.
Yeah, and he didn't lead with his head.
Yeah.
So all those things, to me, like I said, when I saw the game and I saw the hit and I saw it replayed. I mean, at first I thought, ooh, God, that's close. But then having seen it in slow-mo and seen all the replays, you know, I agree with you guys. You know what I mean? I didn't think that he targeted the head and he didn't hit the head. And you know, it was a good no call at that point too, right? That would have been a huge, huge change of events right there.
Who are you picking this week? Who are we going to see in Toronto in the Grey Cup?
You tell me. So I'm in Edmonton, right? So
no, you don't have to. No. You don't have to pick. I will say this though, and I've been blatantly biased about it all since the playoff picture was having an All West final. Like, if it was the best one for me from a storyline is Edmonton Calgary, because you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Right. And Edmonton BC would be the second one because we've never seen an All West final. Like if it was role reverse, and you had Hamilton playing, I don't care, Edmonton, and you had Toronto and someone else, and you had a potential to have a Hamilton Toronto final, I think that would be the most intriguing one for the two fan bases, but also for people in the league, because it's something you've never seen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. So you're right. We're potentially going to see some history being made here with Edmonton, you know, winning in the East. And I do think that when it's all said and done, and to me, I still want to see Mike Riley at the beginning of the game to see that injury doesn't have an effect on him. If he stays healthy, they win the game. And in the West, my allegiance, and obviously I follow the Lions. I would love to see them win, but I just think that Calgary's been too good, and it would be very, very. It's going to be very difficult to beat them on the road in the West Final. I just think that Calgary's too good a team.
Well, For some reason, I have kind of visions of a Darren Flutie touchdown play for the BC Lions when they upset the good Calgary Stampeders, about 20 years ago. So I could.
I remember that very, very well. I was on the field for that. So I will say this, that I get a little bit of a feeling, you know, having talked to people around the league and people, you know, around here that think, oh, yeah, Calgary's going to blow them out. And I said, well, I can remember, you know, a little while ago when that was the same case when no one gave that 94 team a chance to win at all, and they ended up shocking everybody. So let's hope for us as fans that we get a game it's that entertaining.
You betcha. Great to talk to you, man, and hopefully we'll see you at the Grey Cup.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks very much, guys. Have a great afternoon.